Grace and peace to you on this morning when we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, our God and Savior. Amen. We all know how Genesis begins. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It continues by saying, "Now the earth was formless and void. Darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. And God created light and light out of nothing." God simply spoke the word, and this powerful and creative word called all things into existence. This word emanating from God existed before all things. This word from God proclaimed that there should be light without God even lifting a finger to turn on a light switch. The same word pronounced that there should be life. And just like that, there was life teeming over the face of the entire planet. It's striking when we look at John's gospel, which refers back to the same creation and starts much like Genesis, using these words, "In the beginning." Only while Genesis would describe the creation, the Gospel of John describes the Creator. John's Gospel says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made that have been made, and without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. And then that Word that was with God and was God became flesh, and He lived among us in the person of Jesus Christ." This word that John is describing isn't really a word, at least not the kind that you're probably picturing. The word that John describes is a divine personality, a person within the identity of the triune Godhead, a word that communicates God's intentions because He is God. This personal word from deep within God's own heart communicates God's divine intentions to all of us. Like the words that we use in normal everyday human expression, so God would express Himself on Christmas through that Son whom is called the Word. The Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, reveals God's heart, His thoughts, His intentions for all humanity. If you think about it, you really can't know much about a person unless they're willing to reveal their personality to you through the words they speak, through the words they share. And it is no different with God. The true God and His true will cannot be known apart from knowing Jesus Christ, who we learn is God and reveals God. In the birth of Jesus, Jesus reveals a God who has grace and compassion on a rebellious world that has been alienated from God. And so John declares, "The Word was with God and the Word was God," and he's not describing a conventional word like you might look up in a dictionary, but he is describing the very Son of God, the second person of the Trinity prior to His appearance in human flesh. John is describing the Son of God who has existed from eternity, who is Himself co-equal and co-eternal with the Father, that is, without a beginning or an end. He's talking about God's Son who, along with the Father and the Spirit, in Genesis made the world. And now that Word was in our world as an expression of God's goodness, as an expression of God's grace. This Word that had long ago spoken light and remove the primordial darkness at the creation was now again in our world to speak redemptive light and light that would lift the darkness of this world of sin. Jesus is the revelation of the true God, and what he was revealing was the eternal love that God has for us. As words reveal our thoughts, Jesus reveals the one and only God. John's gospel says no one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. And so the great revelation of Christmas isn't simply this, that there is some God out there that loves us. Nor is the message that any God we choose to believe in with enough sincerity can save us. But my friends, our Christian hope and our Christian joy and our Christmas peace are directed very specifically towards God, the one and only, as our Christmas gospel refers to Jesus. For Christmas reveals the one and only true God who loves us, who saves us in the birth of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. The God of the universe is far too grand, far too glorious and complex for us to grasp, except through a baby born in a stable. God knew that as sinners we could not look on his unveiled majesty and glory without dying from fear and fright. And so we sing and our children sing about this little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. You see, God condescends to our understanding and our level like we might to a child. He comes down to our abilities to comprehend and understand the deity. And God would be communicating through that Christ child so that we could all grasp God finally in a non-threatening way. In the events of Jesus' birth, we see clearly God's intentions. We see that he had saving intentions. Or as John 3:16 says, we see that he loved the world so much that he would give his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but was sure to have eternal life. God wants you to receive him this Christmas by believing this revelation of the one and only God born of Mary. The Bible is very clear on this point. It says, "No one who denies the Son has the Father. And whoever acknowledges this is the Son has the Father as well." In other words, the Father and the Son come as a set. If you want the true God, but you don't want to believe in the God who sent his Son into this world for the purpose of atoning for our sins and forfeiting his life on the cross, you can't have it. Popular religious belief in our pluralistic day comes at the matter from a very different direction. Many people, and even sadly many who profess Christianity, subscribe to the belief that yes, there's only one God, but this same God is worshipped by all the different world religions. He's merely known by different names. That's the prevailing belief among our society today, that there may be only one God, but that one God can be known and worshipped as Allah, or Buddha, or Yahweh. But this is not the teaching of Jesus, who would declare, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." For God is not Allah. God is not Buddha. God is not even Yahweh, according to the traditional Jewish understanding apart from Jesus. But the Holy Spirit declares in John's gospel that it is this baby alone born in a cattle shed who we come to celebrate this morning as God, the one and only. Jesus, you see, is the one and only God who created the world, and he is the one and only God who is able to redeem us by the blood he would sacrifice on the cross. The true God earnestly desires all people to be saved. The true God wishes to exclude no one from heaven. And it's for this reason that Christians invite all people to believe in Jesus and to be saved, barring no one. For we all know in the scriptures it says Christ died for all. And yet, John's gospel sadly reports that if people reject this baby born in Bethlehem, they reject God and they reject his plan to salvation through faith in his Son. That lack of faith, however, doesn't change the fact that God does desire to save the world by the salvation he was preparing in the birth of Jesus Christ. And that's why we're here. And that's why we're joyous. And that's why we celebrate. For the Bible says this, that in the last days, God has spoken to us through his Son. For you see, God has nothing to say to us or to the world apart from Jesus. Jesus is God's final word on the subject of sin and salvation. There is no alternative route to heaven. There is no alternative Messiah or Savior to turn to. Everything else in this life that we cling to and trust to is but a worthless idol. God is never happy when people resist his Son, for they reject the God who sent him. To this day, God is both saddened and he is angered by those who turn up their noses at the Christmas gift offered, sent from heaven. For when this one and only God did appear, it says the world did not receive him or recognize him as the one and only God sent from heaven. Even his own people rejected him. And you and I all know that our world is still rejecting the one born in Bethlehem. John provides a spiritual explanation for why men prefer to live in spiritual darkness rather than come into the light of Christ. He says it's because their deeds are evil. Those who enjoy a life of sin will find it easier to invent a God who condones their sin, a God made to their own liking, who will agree with their lifestyle. And many would like to project their own thinking onto God rather than worship the one and only God, Jesus, who is the very image of the unseen God. But we're here for this reason, because you and I have stumbled around too long in the darkness without God and without hope. And so we come here today because we know the birth of Christ is joyous. God has not left us in the dark. He has not left us in our sins. But he has lived among us so that we can live with God forever in the forgiveness, in the peace, in the joy, in the hope, and in the comfort we have in this cradle child. The one and only God has been born into our world to give us a second birth. And through the eyes given us at this second birth, we can now see the glory of his birth. That word that once declared, "Let there be light," now in our baptism and in his word, turns on the light inside of us so that we can see this magnificent thing that God was quietly doing when he stealthed into our world on the first Christmas on the outskirts of Bethlehem. We're here today because God has opened our eyes to the miracle, to the majesty, and to the mystery of this birth that can also be for us a rebirth of faith, a renewal of hope. When sin, through the law, condemned our sins, our hope died. But by the grace and the truth that we are receiving this Christmas morning through the only true God, Jesus Christ, our hope is alive again. For faith has reminded us that through this child, born of Mary, God in the flesh, we have peace with God. And we have a promise that we can take with us throughout the year, well beyond this day. And the promise is this, that he is with us always, that he forgives our sins, and that we will never die because of this one and only God, the true God, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now may the peace of God guard your hearts and understanding and give you a joyful Christmas. Amen.